this because we feel good.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back. It's Thursday, which means an exciting show is about to unfold for you. During the first hour, we will be doing our bi-weekly installment of the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish. And after that, we will be joined all the way from Munster, Germany, by the brilliant and talented Adele Musa as we perform the Subversity Science Roundup, where we apply the Subversity Sniff Test to science in the news. So let's get started. How you doing, guys? Wade, you there?
I'm here. Good to be with you guys.
And, of course, my sidekick and also brilliant individual, Rob Regish. How you doing, Rob?
Good, but a little taken aback by the brilliant comment.
Well, I think a lot of people love all the work that you do on the Blueprint Power Hour. I mean, you put a lot of effort into doing research. And you know what? And you got to be honest. There's questions you probably are asked that you have to scratch your head, but then when you do the research and find the answers, now you have been endowed with that knowledge. So the audience continues to push you further and further, don't they?
Well, let me give you an example. I got an email from one of the guys that I coach, and he listens to the show regularly, and he equated, I think it was Rob that said something about the, you know, the science and art of training, you know, via the last show, and he equated, and rightfully so, you know, because Rob is so much the science, and you're like the art.
Yeah, that's funny.
Trying to be kind to me.
I think you're right. Rob is very cerebral when it comes to all this. He puts a lot of thought into it, and I can only imagine what his dreams look like. Lots of squatting and bench pressing in his dreams. But anyway, and since we've invoked the word the squat, and since it's Coach Johnson's favorite lift, and I know it's Rob Regish's one of his favorite lifts as well. We want to kind of just go back over the basics of the squat. I think it's maybe even overthought sometimes to a degree, but there are definitely some components. And we can't illustrate them on the radio, but I think that we could probably articulate them enough to give people an idea of going, wait a minute, I guess maybe I'm not doing it right. So if you were going to tell somebody kind of the Reader's Digest version of how to get their squat done correctly, which assumes that they'll also be able to develop maximum power, where would you start and what would you say, Wade?
Ultimately, I think more lifts, especially in competition, and basically the platform is kind of like NASA is for all the cool stuff that, you know, ends up out on the market later. The more lifts are lost in competition mainly because of how people set up. There are so many issues that can be resolved because most everybody has a certain modicum of strength. I can squat down, I can break parallel, and I can manage to lock it out. But when it comes to, you know, to big lifts, your margin for error and all the things that are fractional become very heightened. They are very dramatic in the problems that they create. So if the setup is off even a little bit, and I've seen this even at the pro level, I've seen a lot of lifts that obviously the lifter, the athlete was strong enough to achieve the lift, but, you know, the setup wasn't there, and the setup is such a dramatic part of your form.
You say the setup, are you talking about that ritual where you grab the
absolutely.
Bar, you feel the bar
absolutely.
On your back, you get into
absolutely.
Position?
Absolutely. Yeah. At 100%, absolutely. You know, it's like being a musician. You know, your positioning when you're playing, you know, like a fretted instrument, if it's different, it is going to affect how you play. It could even affect the tone. It is that fractional. And with the setup, if your foot placement is varied, if your hand placement is varied, where you wear the bar, you know, if it's a little too low, it's going to affect form everything you do at the sit-up by when you stand up. Because most people, even in this day and age where so many gyms and so many individuals, you know, that have garage gyms and hardcore gyms like myself own a monolift and even more, it is still not a very common piece of equipment, especially in a commercial gym. So most people still are walking out the weight when they squat. And the biggest thing that I see, and I've made videos of this, and I'll be sure today after the show I'll post some of these videos talking about the setup. The biggest thing I see is once they stand up with the weight, it's how many steps they take back, and then the steps to the side, and then the wiggling of the hips, and those types of things where they're never 100% tight, and they're never, ever wow. in the best starting position. And you'll see, because you'll even hear me sometimes in training videos in the positioning, like with the deadlift and then the squat. Once they stand up with the weight, I'll start doing just a cadence, like a, you know, what's the word, a metronome.
Right.
You know, going 1,000, 2,000, and seeing it, how much time goes by before they actually execute the lift. Mm. And I think people are startled when you start counting and seeing how many seconds go by. They're startled by, you know, the amount of time that they're under duress before they even make an attempt, you know, to execute the lift.
And every second, that's been proven. Every second, you only have a certain amount of, let's say, RAM strength, like RAM memory, RAM strength. It's at the forefront, and you can use it up very quickly by standing too long before actually finishing the lift.
I see it happen all the time. I judge meets all the time, and I see it every meet. You can go, the guy's just holding, you know, the lifter's holding onto the weight entirely too long.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so Rob, chime in here about the setup. You have anything to contribute here as well? Thoughts, things that you see as well?
Yeah, I think, you know, we discussed this before. When a lifter can, and many do, waste a lot of energy on that setup, and like Wade was speaking to, you know, just moving the feet around, wiggling around, especially the hips, you can lose a lot of energy even prior to beginning the lift. So it becomes a function of if you have practiced, and that's the key word, if you have practiced frequently enough over thousands and thousands of repetitions and many years in this game, you should be on autopilot. You know, when you go up to that bar, Wade spoke to ritual before. I kind of look at it as autopilot, and videotaping yourself reveals a lot, because you do that just three times, I guarantee you'll be able to walk away and say, yes, you know, I'm on autopilot, everything was very consistent, or no, I approached that bar three different times in three very different ways, and you know, I need to work on that.
Okay, now when we're going to go into a break in about a minute or so. When we come out of the break, we'll pick up the actual component parts. Once you have the setup, now you're ready to squat, and we'll talk about that. But I want to talk about something. There was a powerlifting event in Louisville, Kentucky. Wade, you were there. You had brought your monolift down.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys who squatted a respectable weight insisted, even though we had a monolift there, he insisted on walking the weight back a couple steps and then squatting it, and then walking it forward and re-racking it. And I'll never forget this, because I thought to myself, dude, you've got a monolift. Why are you – but in his case, that was his setup, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you see that even now. There's people that have never trained in a monolift. And for me, you know, I'm lucky, because I adjusted to it quick. I'd never squatted out of one. The second full meet I ever did, there was a monolift, and I took right to it. And so I would schedule a session or two before I owned a gym and before I owned monolifts, you know, with the closest monolift, and I would drive out and train in it once or twice before the meet just to make sure. But, you know, I always tell people, if you've never used a monolift, if you don't feel good in the warm-up room, do what you do in the gym. And you'll see it even in this day and age where their monolifts seem to be so plentiful, people will still walk it out if it's part of your setup, because setup, not only is setup such a huge part of your form and your technique, it's also the rhythm and cadence of the lift. People take for granted, you know, that lifting is rhythmic, and how you breathe and how you stand up with the weights and how you step back and get your positioning is all done by cadence and rhythm. So if that is thrown off, I've seen it a lot of times, you know, throw many lifters off.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to go through the component parts of the squat. Everybody should be squatting. Women should be squatting especially. It's not just a lift if you want to compete someday. It's a lift that will help you remain ambulatory as you age. Wade, please go ahead and plug your websites.
You can find me on Facebook. I have a personal Facebook and then a Johnson Strength Facebook. You can reach me at supersquat800@yahoo.com. Weightlifting Discussion is where our training forum is. And we still have the johnsonstrengthgroup.com website up, but that is not long in this world. We're still working on reconfiguring that.
And then, of course, Rob Regish has his supplement, Mass Pro Synthogen, and then, of course, the Blueprint. And you can learn about both of those by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking either the Mass Pro Synthogen or Blueprint banner ad. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
If you want to build muscle and burn fat, if you want to transform your body, your health, and fitness, then your goal should be to get a copy of The Blueprint from Rob Regish. Learn what the Blueprint Army already knows. There is no faster way to change the way you look and feel than by using The Blueprint. And now, when you order The Blueprint, you will also get absolutely free the Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout Seminar. That's a $20 value, absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Blueprint banner ad today. Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it. It's estimated that the majority of multivitamins simply get flushed down the toilet due to poor digestibility. Well, that's all changed thanks to AgeForce. Now you can get 16 of the most important essential vitamins combined with 6 of the most effective antioxidants directly into your bloodstream with the new AgeForce 8-hour delivery multivitamin patch. And for a limited time, get a buy one, get one free on this groundbreaking new patch. This patch is sure to change the way people take their vitamins. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce multivitamin patch banner ad today. Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise With Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest Protein Bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest Bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest Bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit ironmaglabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at ironmaglabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy. Strength should be a component of your anti-aging prescription. And you're not going to learn more about getting strong sensibly than any place else than on this show right here. From one of the strongest men in the world, and from one of the smartest men about strength in the world. Okay, so let's start out with Coach Johnson. So if you were telling someone over the phone how they should squat, you've got the setup. They say, okay, I understand. I got to do this rhythmically. I got to do it the way I do it every time. As Rob puts it, I got to be on autopilot. There's really not a lot of thought going into it. But what are the component parts that I must learn to technically execute the lift properly? What would you say?
Well, I think the big thing is when lifters do the squats, so many people, especially when they're new, they tend to break at the hips first. And I know that there's a lot of stuff out there that will tell you to break at the hips. And I'm gonna say not do that, and here is why. A lot of people will break at the hips so dramatically before they start pushing the knees out that they create a forward lean.
Yeah, I was just gonna say your lower back gets sacrificed in that.
Right.
Yeah.
And even to the point where people will say arch your back. And the problem with that, it's one thing with an experienced power lifter, and it's significantly different. But by and large, you know, the person that is just wanting to squat, just to get stronger or baseline fitness or whatever the case may be, once you arch that back and once you break at the hips first, you drop the chest, and your whole, the front part of your body starts getting way out in front of your knees, so to speak. And that's where I see the biggest issue. The other issue is as you descend is learning to push your knees outward versus letting them push forward. The sheer pressure mechanically, that people complain about or, you know, are always worried about with squatting comes from when the knee pushes out straight ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you push those knees out and your foot placement is basically 10 and 2 o'clock roughly, your knees will track with those toes, and you can put more pressure on the hips versus the knee. And so once and break parallel, because again, more shear pressure is put on the knee by squatting above parallel than it'll ever be by breaking parallel. And then, you know, once you come up, keep pushing the knees out. And I always tell people, and you'll hear me say it in training videos, lead with the back of your head. That barbell, even if you wear it high, like a high bar Olympic lifter type, that bar, that weight is going to be pushing you forward. So I always say lead with the back of your head, you know, to lock out. And that will help lift the chest up, straighten the spine as you come up to lock out. And then as you're coming up, you're opening the groin and driving the hips forward to lock out. That's the best way I can tell you.
Okay, so
if you don't
break the hips first, what you're saying is, what a lot of people out there espouse is the first thing that should move is your fanny. Are you in agreement with that or not necessarily?
I'm not, and I'll tell you why. Again, you know, this is versus, you know, especially in a geared lifter that's using a squat suit and briefs and so forth, it's a different animal. You know, most people out there are going to be squatting, not even, you know, none of the women that I train at the gym, none of them even use a belt.
Right.
So it's one of those things where everything is about their core strength and their form. You know, that becomes the premium.
Right.
So, because as soon as that butt moves out, if your back is not erect, if you arch the back, immediately what that does is raises the hips, drops the chest, and when where does the stress go? It goes away from where our strength is, being the hips, quads, and hamstrings.
Because
and
I can see why you're saying
this. Back.
And I can see why you're saying this, because it's virtually impossible to make the hips a fulcrum and have the upper legs and the upper body start moving towards each other symmetrically, simultaneously. What ends up happening when you move your butt out first is your chest comes down and
yep.
the lower body and the upper body comes down as opposed, which is, you know, which in a perfect world, you could be like a scissor where both parts are revolving around the hip fulcrum, are moving at the same time, but it doesn't happen that way, does it?
No, and I think that, you know, therein lies the big issue. A lot of guys, even I've got guys currently that train in the morning group that feel like they're squatting so deep. And by and large they are, but because of their positioning, because of where they start, the hips, as they get deeper in the hole, the hips actually come, the hips will dip for so long, then the chest drops, and they're so far forward that it actually raises the hips higher, and they never break parallel.
You know what? I got to be honest with you. I'm guilty of that myself, and I'm nodding my head, and I'm going, you know, I can see that, because what ends up happening is the butt and the upper back almost end up in the same plane.
Right.
Okay, so this is very counterintuitive. In fact, there's a lot of people out there that are shaking their heads right now going, no, Wade, you got to start with your butt. You got to act like you're going for a seat. You got to go like, now, Rob, what are your thoughts on this? This is really counterintuitive.
Well, you know, Wade brings up a whole bunch of good points. And the reality is this, that there are many things that typically go wrong when somebody begins to squat.
When you say begins, you mean the starting point or when they're beginners at the movement?
Well, I think both. I think it's fair to say both. You know, let's, you know, the two biggest that I see are, number one, the hips shoot too far back. They fold over like an accordion, and then on the way back up, the knees track inwards, which, as we all know, is just a recipe for disaster. The reality, I think, is that the easiest way to learn to squat properly is to squat on a box. And I say that for a couple of different reasons, but, you know, the fact is most people squat down onto a toilet seat and back off with better form than they do when they approach a barbell. And I don't know what it is about the actual, you know, lifting movement. Perhaps it's the fact that the weight is resting on the shoulders, but there's a lot that seems to be going on in the person's mind as to, I need to do this, 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 and this. And consequently, you wind up with what looks like a train wreck versus what should be a very natural movement. I mean, let's face it, getting into and out of a chair, we do this every day. And likewise, your squatting movement should be, you know, almost that natural. By repetitively squatting onto a box that's either parallel or below, you effectively remove a lot of the problems that are associated with a traditional free bar squat, not the least of which is making sure that you do squat to at least parallel every time. So, you know, there are tons of advantages I can go into.
Okay, well, wait a minute, but I want to stay with this for a second, because I am running the Carl Lenore supercomputer right now in my head, and I'm looking at the kinesiology in this, right? And I'm thinking about what Wade said. And the truth of the matter is, most people squat, making their back part of the movement, as opposed to the back being a stationary supporting part of the movement. The back becomes a moving part of the movement. And when you think about the squat, when you think about how you squat on a toilet, as you pointed out, nobody goes and leans forward as they, you may lean forward gently, but that's because you're trying to maintain your center of gravity as your body shifts dynamically through space. But the reality is you break your knees. That's how you get into a seated position. You don't break your hips to get into a seated position. Now the hips may follow to some degree in an adjustment approach to what the knees below it are doing. But it's brilliant, Wade. I've never really given it a lot of thought, but you're right. If you want to squat, the knees are really what needs to break in order to get the tush down low enough to be in the squatting position. You could, because let's face it, you can keep your knees locked and do everything you want with your hips. You're not going to be sitting.
Right.
I mean, it's really interesting. Now, I love what Rob says, using the box as a stopping point to better understand that you are getting from point A to point B. But I think that if we stop focusing on this, act like you're going for a seat and let the fanny go out first, and act like you're going for a seat and keeping the knees pushed out as the knees break, this is really interesting. I really like this, and it's something that's pondering.
Well, I think a lot of people, you know, will disagree with that, and I can hear it now. what Louis says, and I'm like, I don't disagree with a lot that Louis has to say, but by, you know, Louis's also working with elites, you know, athletes all the time. And I'm not saying that he doesn't teach newbies, because that would be false. But I think you've got to look at where you see the most problems and how to address it. And one of the things also that I have found, by when I break with my knees first, once I break parallel, because I've got my hips are in such a position of power, when I break parallel, you'll actually see my fanny tuck under me, and that's where I break parallel, and that is where I generate power when I reverse out of the hole. Everything is under me, directly, basically in correlation with my spine. And as opposed to arching my back or leaning forward, I try to stay as upright as possible, making that, you know, my core, that what is stabilizing that weight and keeping it as equal as possible. I'm illustrating.
No, I
that
think
well.
I think this is intriguing. This really does change the discussion quite a bit. And when you think about it, if you're squatting and you're letting your hips and your lower legs do the work, your back is stationary. Your back is a supporting mechanism. Your back is just holding the weight. And this really is the way that the squat should be performed. Now, there are some lifters out there who tend to have a more forward lean, because those of us who are taller, in order to adjust our center of gravity, we tend to have to lean a little bit further forward in order to get into that position. And then there are the freaks out there. There was a African-American powerlifter. I think his last name was Goggin.
Steve Goggins, absolutely.
If you've ever seen him squat massive
now,
weight, you think to yourself, this poor guy's back is going to shear.
Let me tell you a story about Steve, and I'll tell you why this is important. Steve's bread and butter, and Steve will tell you this, and I have trained with Steve a couple of times at North Georgia Barbell, and he and I go back a ways. One of the best power lifters in the history of the sport. And keep in mind, he was the first guy that broke 1,100 pounds when, you know, the record, all-time record for years and years was in the low part of 1,000. And he came through and hit 1,100 pounds. Now, I have trained with Steve. I have seen Steve do below box parallel, below parallel box squats with a Buffalo bar. It had about 500 pounds of plates, using what at the time the blue bands, which were the heaviest bands, squatting against it. And the guy is capable of squatting upright. He does it in training. But he will tell you himself, I mean, he and I have had this conversation, his bread and butter is his lower back, because his erectors look like a pair of country hams around his spine. I'm not kidding you. And the guy's a 242 lifter. He hit the 1100 at 275, but I saw him at the next Arnold. He dieted down to 242 and still squatted in the mid, you know, like in the 1050 area. I can't remember specifically, you know. So, you know, that's not a dramatic drop off after, you know, losing 20 pounds.
Right.
And, but his erectors, it's absolutely inhuman at what his entire back from the traps on down. It's ridiculous. But he is capable of squatting upright. I've seen him do it.
Right.
But he also has learned, and this is a whole different ballgame versus learning the mechanics of the squat versus finding what your best leverages are. You know, and that's where his injuries have occurred to at different given times. You know, is in that back area, because that's where his best leverages were. And it was a scary thing to watch, because you would see him, you'd think there's no way in hell he's going to break parallel. And down he would go, and it would basically look like his chin was around his knees,
right,
and then up he would come.
Right.
You know, so, but yeah, absolutely. Steve was one of those guys, you know, that
he was
his
the exception.
Form belied the weight that he was using.
Yeah, he was an exception to the rule. Okay, let's do this. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, let's change the subject a little bit. Since we're talking about the squat, let's talk about some other lifts, barbell, dumbbell, and machine lifts that are worthy of people's attention. You're listening to the Roundtable Discussion on Strength and Hypertrophy. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
I'm going to have to change this. Let's stop for a second.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
over 35% of all men over 20 will struggle with painful chronic prostatitis at some time in their lives. Relaxin is a novel dietary supplement shown in a preliminary retrospect study to be more effective than antibiotics at relieving symptoms of chronic prostatitis. Relaxin is safe and effective for men. If you suffer from prostatitis and don't want to take powerful drugs, antibiotics, or risk procedures, give Relaxin a try. Go to bioadvantex.com to learn more. That's bioadvantex.com. Stop living with embarrassing pain and symptoms associated with chronic prostatitis today. Get Relaxin, R-E-L-E-X-I-N. True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com. Nutrition.com today. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today. You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. WhayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WhayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WhayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WhayNaturalUSA.com. Never before in the history of muscle gauge nutrition have they ever been so generous. And this is only available to the Superhuman Nation. Now get 25% off any order when you use the coupon SUPER. Save on sports performance supplements like creatine, BCAAs, Huge Impact, and their flagship product, Whey Isolate. Save 25% off weight loss products like Trim Down Advanced or Gage Lean MRP, or check out their line of multivitamins formulated for men and women. Whatever you want, Muscle Gauge has it. Go to MGNstore.com and use the coupon code SUPER today.
Get stronger, feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay, we're going to lead off with Rob Regish now. And the question becomes, there are lots of exercises we can do. It's confusing. It's mind-boggling. It makes my head spin. Needless to say, I haven't been to the gym in 2 weeks, by the way. I'm taking some much-needed central nervous system recovery time. But with that being said, you know, how do we determine what is worth our efforts? And what are the go-to gold standard movements, you think, using the barbell, the dumbbells, and are there any machines worth looking at as well?
Well, that's a complex topic, but I'll do my best. I think it makes sense first to start with the big three: the bench, the squat, the deadlift, and then identify the variations thereof that will improve those lifts, meaning, you know, Wade, I know, is big on, for example, the decline bench press, and not without reason. But beyond that, when you're looking at a lift, whether it be a barbell lift, a dumbbell lift, or even a lift on a machine, plate loaded or otherwise, the most effective movements, bar none, are those in which you move your body and the weight through space simultaneously. And this is simply due to a phenomenon known as NMA, or neuromuscular activation. It sends a much more intense electrical message from your brain through your spinal cord, which transverses a nerve to the muscle group, telling it to contract. And when you do that in a large compound movement, you will make gains far, far above and beyond anything to do with isolation movements, whether they be done with free weights or otherwise.
Okay, with that being said then, okay, if people are paying attention to their bench press, their deadlift, and their squat, there are those of us out here who bench pressing really isn't an option any longer. We're old, we're broken down, our shoulders hurt. Can we go through and just assume that staying away from the bigger barbell movements and going and using dumbbells and getting into a more neutral grip position is just as effective?
Well, I got some thoughts on that. You know, as you know, recently answered a similar question on the Power Hour. But, you know, the short answer is dumbbells can be certainly be just as effective for building muscle. But, you know, you also need to get a little creative here. There's something known as the barbell jammer press that I know we've discussed on this show before, and, you know, it's probably out of the context of this discussion. But if you Google that on YouTube, you see what I'm talking about. I think Louis calls it the landmine, is it?
Mm-hmm.
But the point being is this. When you reach the point where you can no longer bench or press over your head anymore, it's largely due to the fact that, number one, you've been doing too much of that, not enough rowing or pulling movements to balance the shoulder. And two, those movements are unnatural insofar as the elbow is splayed out at a right angle. And in nature, the human body evolved to push things away by keeping the elbows in line with the body. You know, somebody comes up to you in a bar and wants to beef with you. When you push them away, do you splay your elbows out to the side like on a bench press?
Yeah. Oh, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
No. You know, watch any NFL lineman block, for that matter.
Yeah.
They're not putting their elbows way out to their sides. They're pushing up and away, tucking their elbows in. You need to look for movements, be they free weight movements with barbells, dumbbells, or machines that mimic that motion.
What, Wade, are there any machine movements that you consider worthy that you use with, and I don't mean just your mainstream clients where, you know, they're not really looking to compete, but even that make the crossover to the serious strength athletes as well?
There's two machines that I would suggest that if you have the budget and or you will take the time to save the money and shop, there's two machines that I think every gym, regardless if it's a commercial gym or your smallest of the garage hardcore gyms, and that's the reverse hyper and the tibia machine. And the reverse hyper, you know, everybody's thinking, you know, just hamstrings and lower back, but we've used it so much as a prehab rehab machine, you know, just to get people. I'll give you an example, and I think we've brought Matt Poe up before, who's basically a famous trainer in the Southeast and has worked with numerous pro athletes. When Matt hurt his back, he contacted me, and actually he contacted Louis Simmons first because he was looking for a reverse hyper, and Louis told him about a gym that's probably about an hour or so away, and then when Louis said, "How close are you to me?" and he realized that I had a reverse hyper, so Louis actually sent him to me. And so what we did with Matt, because he could barely walk, is we just used an empty reverse hyper versus the traditional way of you and I'm oversimplifying, of slinging the weight to parallel and then letting it the weight, you know, as a like a pendulum swing you forward to stretch the back. We had Matt with no weight because he couldn't take that kind of abuse. And I learned this from Laura Phelps. Sweat, what she does, as opposed to using a bunch of weight and doing a pendulum action, she would have, you know, the starting position would be your legs are parallel to your body, and you curl with the legs straight up to parallel and then control it back. And that's what we did with Matt. And, you know, eventually we strengthened his back and his legs up and got it to where he became flexible again. But so there's a, it's not just, you're not getting just one movement out of that machine. And then I think because of such an issue of calf imbalance with the tibia and ankle strength and flexibility,
right,
that is something that is so overlooked. And it's a simple little machine, and I'm fortunate enough to have found one cheap.
Yeah, and but you know what? There may be one in your gym, and you've stepped over it 1,000 times.
Sure. Or it's tucked away. People don't even know it's there. But there's video on YouTube where you can see how people use even bands, you know, to work the tibia. And there are so many things. Just because, like a lot of my female clients, they wear high heels, you know, and a lot of people don't realize how many injuries women have every year from the shoes that they wear. And that's one of the things that my clients are always exclaiming, you know, that how much a difference that this makes, you know, it, when they wear their heels all day at work, or they're at an event and they're walking on uneven terrain, that they can tell that their ankle strength is so much better in their balance, you know, and that at the end of the day, they're not complete, you know, their ankles and legs aren't completely exhausted, you know, and athletically, it's just something, again, we've used it as a rehab movement and keeps our athletes healthy.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. What about you, Rob? Is there a short list for you of machines that are worthy of the average lifter as well as the crossover to the more competitive lifter?
I'd echo the reverse hyper. In fact, I felt so strongly about it, I built my own.
Did you really?
Yeah, I think I texted you one weekend.
Perhaps you did, yeah.
Yeah, I built my own, and you know what Wade is saying is absolutely true. You know, the merits of that machine are not limited simply to the performance enhancement aspects of it in terms of building the posterior chain, because it recruits in unison the hamstrings, glutes, and lower back. But the prehab and rehab benefits are, they're incredible. I mean, if you doubt that, you know, work hard on the reverse hyper, especially with a band if you can, for a few weeks, and then go out and sprint. It's like you've been shot out of a cannon. You know, in terms of other quote-unquote machines, I really can't say that I'm in favor of, you know, anything that's coming to mind, other than for certain movements that involve extreme overload, static holds, for example.
Right.
I will use a seated calf machine simply because, you know, getting your calves into that position with that amount of weight is otherwise very difficult with a free weight. You know, those kind of things can certainly be helpful. By and large, though, one other, very
just came to your mind.
One other, very underutilized. The 45-degree hyperextension, not reverse hyperextension. This, in my mind, I see it used in the gym a lot, but more so as kind of just like a warm-up exercise for the lower back. Well, you know, the ability to strengthen the lower back by adding weight on that movement is profound.
But you know what my concern on that machine is?
The knee.
And so many people overextend the knee. If your knee is not broken at least even a few degrees and remains that way. In fact, I like the machine that has the little bolstered pad that goes behind the break of the knee. You know what I'm talking about? Because when you start using, I remember I used to do those with dumbbells in my hand, and I would do them by letting my arms go straight down at the bottom of the movement and then actually rowing the dumbbells up to my chest as I went up into full extension. And when you're doing that kind of weight and that kind of work, it's really hard to also go, okay, now let me keep my knees broke. And you know what? I've overextended my knees on those, and I actually think I caused a bucket handle tear in my right knee one time from that. And I thought, that's it. I'm not doing those anymore. So you really have to be vigilant about not allowing your knees to overextend on that, unless you have the one where the bolstered pad goes behind the knee and you can press the back of your leg against it.
Yeah, I mean, there is, you bring up an excellent point. You do need to exercise, like all exercises, I think, some discretion, and there is some risk of injury, but that thing is not being milked, the 45-degree extension, to its fullest potential.
Yeah.
And it really, you know, it's a shame because most gyms, that apparatus is so flimsy that if you do decide to add additional weight,
it starts rocking side to side.
It starts rocking side to side.
Yeah, I know.
So be aware of that too, because yours truly found that out the hard way.
Yeah. You get enough weight on the wrong side of that thing, and all of a sudden you find out instead of you erecting up, the machine is coming down to you. It's not a fun feeling. We have to take our last commercial break. And when we come back, I'd like to catch up with Coach Johnson and find out how training is going. You're listening to the Roundtable Discussion on Strength and Hypertrophy. Later in the show, Adele Moussa joins us for the Subversity Science Roundup. Stay tuned. You're about to get smarter. Be right back.
It's estimated that the majority of multivitamins simply get flushed down the toilet due to poor digestibility. Well, that's all changed thanks to AgeForce. Now you can get 16 of the most important essential vitamins combined with 6 of the most effective antioxidants directly into your bloodstream with the new AgeForce 8-hour delivery multivitamin patch. And for a limited time, get a buy one, get one free on this groundbreaking new patch. This patch is sure to change the way people take their vitamins. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce multivitamin patch banner ad today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wise Choice Medicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest Protein Bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to the Roundtable Discussion on Strength and Hypertrophy. We all know that Coach Johnson is preparing for a competition. He's pushed it out for a variety of reasons, because you're actually focusing a little bit on Olympic lifting now. and making a mark there. How is your training going? What's new?
The weight, I'm at, let's see, when we decided that we'd push the meet to February, I was like, okay, I'm going to take this next week or so with Thanksgiving coming up, and it was also an anniversary time for Julia and I. It was the day after Thanksgiving that Julia and I saw each other for the first time in, you know, over 25 years. So it was kind of a time of celebration that,
right.
that wasn't, you know, a free pass to just gorge myself. And I didn't, you know, but I ate and I, you know, I sampled some of the desserts and that
yeah,
sort of thing.
Yeah, you had a good,
and,
you gotta lighten up. You can't.
Got to. And I mean, I've been hard on it since May. And, but we came back and after a couple of days I weighed in and I was like terrified. Cause I'd gotten down, I think the last weight was 314.8, and I was like, okay, that's about where I need to be. And I was thinking, well, I'll be back over 320 pounds cause I know that there's all this salt and everything. And, you know, after I got done training, I guess it was Monday, I went downstairs and I was actually 314.6. So yeah, go figure. So it's one of those things where I think, you know, I've got my body to where my metabolism is responding and, you know, I can have a break where, you know, I think it goes back along to some of the things that Rob has said, you know, when we just eat protein and we're avoiding the carbs and we're avoiding this, you know, and you teach your body to do only one thing, again, making a long and complicated story oversimplified, but I think having some of those fats and having, you know, some of those other things just allowed my body, and I didn't train for like 4 days. So it was, you know, which is as long a layoff as I ever take. And, you know, so I think it allowed my body to heal a little bit and recuperate, you know, and my body probably needed those added calories just to kind of, you know, replenish. But, you know, I'm back, you know, paying attention. The biggest thing that I find, and I think it's the challenge that any lifter, finds regardless of age and experience is when you've been big for so long, I think the hardest thing is adjusting the leverages. And I'm still, it's like every 5 or 10 pounds, I have to start making adjustments, you know, to what feels natural again. So that seems to be the biggest challenge. My strength levels seem to be pretty good. I've not posted videos in a while because I was like, you know, these, you know, people are seeing these videos since May, and if, you know, if I'm sick of seeing me, I'm sure everybody else is too. But we're starting to do a few different things. We're deadlifting with some chains, so I'll have some video of that, and I've got some new attachments for bands that we'll be pulling against. And we use a lot of different specialty bars with squatting and even bench, and we've added a new cambered squat bar, and then we just got a football bar with a neutral grip. And me and GL, one of the guys that I train with, we used that this morning just, you know, in the experimental stages and to give me an alternative to the decline because of the knee injury. Even if I'm flat back and no longer torque myself into the bench, you know, when I was at my heaviest and using my heaviest poundages, even flat back, I still have a tendency to torque the knee a little bit. So I'm doing some things that'll allow me to alternate against that decline. And, you know, so we're looking at the football bar as a potential alternative. The Olympic lifting, I did the last Olympic lifting meet in October. And just with the knee and the shoulder injury, I was like, I was going to compete at the end of December, but it's like, I need to give this a little bit of time. So I'm doing some things to train, but I'm not doing the complete list right now just to let everything recuperate, because ultimately the priority will be in February is to get this elite total at 308. And, then we'll start focusing back more on the Olympic lifting and strongman. So that, you know, body weight is about 6 pounds away. I think I'll be able to do that fairly, you know, easily and, should be good to go.
You know, it's funny, Rob. I have taken off. I haven't even thought about the gym. I haven't even done cardio. I gotta be honest. In the past 5 days, because normally my routine is I get up first thing in the morning and I do my fasted cardio and I catch up on news and I, you know, send emails to people in the company and while I'm on the treadmill. And I've been sleeping in to like 7:30 in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning. And I got to tell you something. I just kind of followed some of Dr. Matt Andrews' recommendations. He's on the show all the time. And you know, I've been asking myself, what do I feel like I need? And I just keep coming up with rest. I just feel like, you know, after the stupidity that I applied to my training, where I went in and hit my body, and you know, Rob, we talked about it. I did entire body training every day for like 4 or 5 days in a row, then took a couple days off, and then, and I was like getting stronger and felt great, and then all of a sudden I started having pains in my knees and pains in my hips, pains in my upper glutes where the back, I'm like, you know, this is not working, something's wrong. And so I just decided, you know what, I'm going to take off for a while. I'm still staying nice and lean. I haven't put on any weight. My muscles still look pretty full, which is really impressive to me, because I'm like, wow, I'm not even working out right now, and I look pretty good. I know it's not going to stay like that, but I'm just not training for a while, and I'm not thinking about training for a while. And well, I don't you think you need that once in a while?
I do. And you know, what you did was exactly what you should have done, which is you listened to your body's signals that they was giving you, which was saying, hey, man, you know, back off for a little bit. Now, with respect to a hiatus here and there, both physically and mentally, absolutely. You know, you need every once in a while to regroup, reload, and let the fire stoke.
Yes.
And right? And you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, because I'm already starting to feel it. I'm like, when I go back into the gym, I'm going to be really ready to go back into the gym.
Yeah. And, you know, make the most of this time by, once that fire starts coming back, you know, look into some new goals, and more importantly, how you're going to achieve them. Dream, and dream big. You know, that old saying, shoot for the stars, so what if you only get to the moon? You know, these little vacations, I'll call them, are necessary from time to time. And if you don't heed your body's advice and signals like they were giving you, I can guarantee I know where you'd be today.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be in a chiropractor's office or worse. So,
right, right.
You know, you did the right thing, man.
I'm not going to embellish myself by saying, you know, more than this, but I think that when you've trained long enough and you have the ability to generate a certain amount of strength, and you have the ability to push your body to that point, you really have to have a lot more respect for your body, because the damage you can inflict is a lot faster and a lot farther reaching. And, I've been giving a lot of thought about this. You know, we don't take off in third gear in our car just because we spent some time in third gear recently. You always start off in first and go to second and go to third. My mistake is that I wasn't training with consistency, but when I went into the gym, I ramped it up because I figured I could, so therefore I should. And I think this time around, I'm actually going to start off in first gear. I'm going to do some remedial work. I'm going to start focusing on just basic cardio, not move right to high intensity training, because I'm going to start off in first gear this time, and I'm going to make this a journey, and I'm going to learn how to step back for once and for all, instead of going, well, because I, you know, deadlifted this before, I should be able to go in and at least deadlift this. You know what I mean?
It's perfect opportunity to work in some body weight stuff, and I know I keep hammering on it, but, you know, if you want to talk about getting back to basics and fundamentals, that is the place for it. And believe you me, you know, you needn't stay there, because you can always make any body weight movement more difficult, either by changing the angle of the exercise or moving to unilateral work, you know. People laugh, push-ups. Well, what am I going to do, 50, 100 push-ups? Yeah.
Yeah, try
okay.
it.
try them on one arm. Tell me how many reps you get.
Yeah.
You know, there's always a way, and it's a fantastic way.
Wait, what do you think of that analogy about starting off in first gear and not third gear?
I completely agree. It comes down to the, you know, you've heard me say it on this show many times, where I see the 150-pound kid that comes in cold, and when they go to the bench press, and there's no way in hell if their life depended on it, and I had a bazooka at their groin, could they bench press 200 pounds, and what do? They grab the bar and they put a 45 on each side and they start pressing, and that's their warm up. And I think, you know, not only as a methodology of your training, you know, but just the everyday, I'm going to go in and I want to start in first gear. And that means I need to warm up a few of these body parts. And if I'm benching, I'm going to do some reps with the bar and, you know, just make sure everything is where it needs to be. And you'll find that that gets more and more important, not only as you get older, but as you get more and more advanced, because it is absolutely, like you said, you know, what the explosion from a firecracker is certainly severe. You know, it's a whole different ball game when it's an atom bomb,
right,
you know.
Right.
So, you know, that's kind of what we're looking at. And it's I can use myself, you know. Up until I went down with the 880 in training, I was confident that not only would I squat 900, that I probably had a shot at 1,000 pounds.
Right.
And, you know, and that's how quickly it can change. It's not like, you know, I went down with 135, which can be, you know, terrible, but it's not generally, if you go down with 880, things are going to happen.
Yeah.
And there's no way, you know, around it. So it's much the same. So I'm not like you guys where, you know, when I was out of the gym, from Thursday to Sunday, I was pretty punchy. So that's usually a good enough way off for me. So, but that, you know, that's just,
well, it takes time to find your center again. But hey, we've got to pull the plug on the show. It's always a great show. Please, Coach Johnson, plug your websites and how people can reach you.
Johnson Strength on Facebook and my personal Facebook, supersquat800@yahoo.com, weightliftingdiscussion.com, and johnsonstrengthgroup.com. And quickly, I'd like to congratulate two of my online lifters. Selena Gavins pulled a lifetime PR in the deadlift, and then Thad Forehand from North Carolina benched his first 300 with a pause. And we're doing this all over the internet and YouTube video.
That's awesome. That is really awesome. And then, of course, Rob Regish, people can learn about you by going to the Superhuman Radio website and clicking one of the banner ads. And right now, if you order the blueprint, you get the add 1 inch to your upper arms in a single workout session. That's right. You can do it. And Rob teaches you how, absolutely free, a $20 value when you buy the blueprint, or check out Mass Pro Synthogen. Hey guys, thanks a lot for being on the show today.
Always great to be with you guys.
All right, talk to you soon. All right, stay tuned. When we come back, we will be joined by the brilliant Adele Musa, all the way from Munster, Germany. You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. Into Burn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, Into Burn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin-mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta-adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, Into Burn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now. Titan Organics is a direct importer of the finest organic virgin coconut oil from pristine Philippines farmland. Their raw, organic, and kosher centrifuged coconut oil is the finest available in the world. They're so confident that you've never experienced a finer coconut oil that the first 100 Superhuman Radio listeners get a free 15-ounce jar. If you love coconut oil for cooking, skin, and hair care, or if you eat it out of the jar like Carl does, you're going to be absolutely blown away. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Titan Organics banner ad to get your free jar today. Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntuBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntuBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin-mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta-adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntuBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now. Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
DJ Yoda, here we go.
Okay, little Richard, okay. Spit it out already, for crying out loud. Welcome back to Supremo Radio. This is the Subversity Science Roundup with the brilliant Adele Musa joining us all the way from Munster, Germany. What's the weather like in Munster, Germany today, Adele?
Oh, it's just about to get cold.
And, oh, is it?
Yeah, it's winter is about to close in. And in parts of Germany, snow is already falling, but fortunately here it's still relatively dry and not yet cold enough.
Good. Well, hopefully you'll have that for a little while longer, because no one really likes the winter, let's be honest. Anyway, let's talk about some of this research that we're going to be looking at. The most exciting one is this study on a natural testosterone booster that no one has ever heard about.
Well, right, exactly. And it's quite interesting that this is one this one is again coming from Italy, and people will maybe remember that D-aspartic acid also came out of nowhere from Italy. And
yeah, we Italians are all about our testosterone levels, let's be honest.
Yeah, and, yeah. And in fact, in this case, the main intention of the scientist was actually to have a drug or a drug-like supplement that would increase erectile function in men who have either low libido or erectile dysfunction. And it turns out that they really developed a combination of ingredients everybody actually knows. The first one is Eclonia cava, which is a brown algae. People may probably know its effect on insulin sensitivity, and also it's also promoted as a weight loss adjuvant. And the other two are also very prominent, because one is tribulus, of which most will probably know that people still claim it will boost testosterone levels like nothing, not like nothing else, but in fact, the actual science says it doesn't. And the third
but that doesn't. But that doesn't stop supplement companies from still selling it, does it?
Oh, really? So yeah. The third one is glucosamine, and in this case, it's the D version of glucosamine, and one is also, there are two types in it. The one is the standard free form, and the other is an N-acetyl derivative of glucosamine. And it's actually quite surprising that this is a peer-reviewed study, and it's published in a regular journal, and yielded increases in testosterone levels of about 200% in the subjects. And free testosterone levels also increased by 130% on average. And this is unquestionable, pretty impressive, and I was pretty impressed at all when the reader, a supposed to reader, shot me the link to the study, because I had not seen it before, and I read the whole piece. I realized that, first of all, I thought that it's too good to be true, that right. Can't be real. But then I realized that if you take patients who are basically hypogonadal, that means they have low testosterone levels or at the very lowest point of the normal range, an increase of 100% brings you not even back to normal, so the 200% increase is brought them back to mid-range testosterone levels. And therefore, this effect has to be relativized, so you must see it in the context of who is treated with this supplement. Still, it's impressive, and it's also impressive that the effects on the erectile function were at least, if not more pronounced, than with a PDE5 inhibitor. So the supplement obviously seems to work. It's, however, a question whether this is a supplement somebody would like to take to increase his performance. And it is almost certain that anyone with above average testosterone levels won't see an increase of 200% in his total testosterone levels.
Right, right. But with that being said, from the anti-aging community, I can see this being an amazing supplement. So what are there any downsides to it? Is there any toxic dose or anything like that?
I don't think there are, but there is a certain nasty aftertaste to the study in itself, because while it says that there is no conflict of interest, I digged a little further and found out that the lead author holds a patent in exactly or a patent on the specific combination of these ingredients. And there's also another trick I initially fell for, because I thought Eclonia, well, you know, Eclonia cover, but they say it's Eclonia bicyclist, which is exactly the same algae,
right.
But it's another appellation for the same molecule. And you could, of course, argue that it seems to be a unique new supplement if you just use another name for the same ingredient. And we already know that Eclonia is a pretty impressive anti-inflammatory. So the basic mechanism that's at work here is probably a reduction in systemic inflammation. And maybe it is possible that Eclonia, or even the synergism of all these compounds, because although tubulus does not really boost testosterone levels, at least not in healthy men, it does also have some anti-inflammatory effects.
Mm.
So the combination of all these compounds could, in fact, be a good health supplement in general. And with the improvement in health comes an improvement in erectile function and an increase in testosterone levels.
Yes.
And that would actually make it a much better alternative to a PDA5 inhibitor, which is just treating the symptoms, not the cause.
Right. No, absolutely. Now, this patent, is it all-inclusive, or are there ways for companies to get around this patent and produce their own version of this?
Well, I'm not an expert in patent rights, but in essence, it patents only the combination of these specific ingredients in the ratios that are in the supplement. So I don't think that it would be impossible for another supplement company to reproduce this product or a similar one. And anyone who's able to use Google and types in bulk plus the name of the individual compounds could buy all of them in powdered form online and make his own stack if he wanted to.
Okay, we actually have to take our first commercial break. But what I want to do when we come back, I want to stay on the subject of testosterone, because you have another great piece of research here that shows the linkage, the gender gap of cardiovascular morbidity and mortality and its relationship to testosterone. We're talking this hour with Adel Moussa, and he is the author of Supversity, SUPPVERSITY.com. But I don't have to tell you that because you already know that, because you're smart. And if you're not smart, it's because you're not visiting Supversity daily. SUPPVERSITY.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomerase. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting TASciences.com. That's TASciences.com.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only 3 ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. For those of you who live in the Southern Florida area and can hear the radio station WNN, Dr. Michael Smith, who is a regular on our show, is now doing a healthy talk show called Healthy Talk with Dr. Mike on WNN. And let's see, his show airs once a week. And I don't have the dates here. I'm sorry to say that. But you can look for him by going to the WWNNradio.com website. Congratulations, Dr. Mike Smith. I have to say, while the show page attributes his appearance and involvement with Suzanne Summers' new talk show on Lifetime about anti-aging as being his first debut on a national talk show, it really was on Superhuman Radio, but apparently I'm not as pretty as Suzanne, so there's really no value in plugging me on that one. But congratulations to Dr. Michael Smith. Okay, getting back to the subject at hand with Adele Musa as we perform the Subversity Sniff Test to research. Talk about the testosterone levels in men and how that affects the gender gap in men and women with cardiovascular disease.
Well, just a brief comment on Dr. Smith's show, because he was actually one of the first to really talked about the benefits of Eklonia Keva, and Life Extension has been selling respective supplements for a very long time. So things always come back to you. So
isn't that great?
Yeah. I think he even talked about that back in the day on one of the shows when he was on Superhuman Radio. So listeners will know those supplements and that they work.
There you go. That's great. Good. Thank you for pointing that out.
And, well, back to the issue of low testosterone levels and why this supplement could be worth buying still if it's not that unique as it is supposed to be. Because a recent study that was actually conducted on over 4,000 men and women in Germany yielded a very interesting result. And the scientists actually wanted to find out what the underlying reason may be that men die earlier than women or have a higher mortality rate than women. And they speculated that it may be due to the negative effects of testosterone. And in fact, what turned out to be it turned out to be the exact opposite, because they found in this 10-year follow-up study that those men with the lowest testosterone levels had a very much increased risk of all-cause mortality and specifically of cardiovascular disease. And in fact, the difference or the gender difference really became much lower when just the men with age-appropriate, as they call it, testosterone levels were involved in the statistical analysis of the data. And this just shows you that the decrease or the age-induced decrease in testosterone, of which we are often told that it is sort of protective because otherwise we would develop cancer and die prematurely, is actually bad for men. At least when the testosterone levels drop beyond a certain threshold.
All right. So, there's also some research out there that points to the difference between the gender gap and cardiovascular disease as having a relationship to the production of creatine by men and versus women, and then the spinoff of homocysteine, which is a byproduct of the production of creatine. Does that play into any of this at all? Is there any effect on testosterone levels and creatine production?
Well, I'm not aware of any effect, or at least in this study they were also not investigated. And you could even say that with the effects creatine appears to have, at least in combination with exercise on DHT levels, this could actually come handy. Because just about 3 days ago in the Journal of Lipid Sciences, there's another study which investigates the relationship between between DHT, estrogen, and fatty liver disease. And interestingly, it turned out that both estrogen as well as DHT appear to be protective against fatty liver disease.
Really?
And we all know that most of the people who are actually developing a metabolic syndrome and all the negative consequences associated with it have a certain degree of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And this often goes back way earlier in their life, so it's not really just something you will see in older people, but also in younger individuals. And there's been a couple of months ago a study on young obese pubertal and post-pubertal boys, And they found out that those boys had an average 40 to 50% lower testosterone levels than their normal weight
counterparts.
Yeah, their normal weight counterparts. And what is quite intriguing is that these decreases were highly correlated with increases in the long-term measure of blood glucose measurement, which is HOMAIR or HOMAIR.
Right.
This also raises the question, what's the underlying reason? So have you low is it that you have low testosterone at first, or is it that you have insulin resistance at first?
Interesting.
And in the end, I think it's really neither one nor the other, but you can have it both ways. Either your testosterone levels or your total endocrine hormone production drops and you are at a higher risk of developing insulin resistance, or you are sedentary, get obese, don't eat healthy, and develop insulin resistance first, which will then block the production of endocrine hormones and will thus set up the same vicious cycle out of which it's really difficult to escape. And this actually goes back to the first topic, because what the eclonia, I suspect, is the main working compound in the formula we've been talking about
before.
So what the eclonia probably did was actually to break this vicious cycle by decreasing the systemic inflammation that ensues, and thus helping the restoration of testosterone levels and overall health. It's unfortunate that they did not measure blood glucose levels, for example, because I suppose that those also increased in the men who saw relief from erectile dysfunction in the study.
Very, very good. Very interesting. Yeah, you know, we keep coming back to this, and it's funny because I get emails from people all the time who are talking to their physicians about testosterone therapy, and their physicians are trying to discourage them. And I just don't understand this mentality of why a physician would try to discourage a man from replacing something that naturally occurs in the body, the healthy body, to levels that are prevalent during health, as opposed to trying to give him a drug that is not naturally occurring, like a statin drug or, an anti-anxiolytic drug, whatever. Yet they can reconcile themselves giving that, but they can't reconcile themselves with giving testosterone. They act like testosterone is so dangerous the production of good research indicating that testosterone is safe and effective as a therapy for men as they age is so heavily weighted in the positive, that how can doctors continue to ignore this? I just don't understand it.
Well, I think it's a paradigm that testosterone increases the susceptibility to prostate cancer and other types of cancer, and everything that's growth promoting is potentially regarded as dangerous.
Yes.
And you obviously need a practitioner who knows about how to dose the testosterone appropriately, and somebody who's against it from the start wouldn't be the right practitioner for you to work with anyway. So I think that people who really feel that they can benefit from testosterone therapy should just go and try to find someone who knows how to do it, and he will probably, or she will probably, not be as afraid as someone who is just riding the same old paradigm of testosterone is so bad and growth promoting and will only give you cancer and makes your heart disease risk even greater. So this probably the way to go. We'll find a practitioner who really knows what he's doing. And if you look at the study in the young men and the pubertal boys, you would obviously say that for them it's not good to have low testosterone.
No.
But what's also interesting is that aside from their low testosterone levels, also their estrogen levels were rock bottom. So usually you expect them to be high because of the increased aromatization due to the excess body fat. But in fact, in those subjects with the lowest testosterone levels, all endocrine hormones were low. And in view of what I've been saying before about the role of estrogen and also DHT, which is feared even more by most physicians, In the clearance of fatty acids from the liver, their role in the clearance of fatty acids in the liver, you could even argue that the whole hormonal cascade would be set into gear by administering testosterone at a reasonable amount or at reasonable doses, so that you just bring your whole androgen milieu back up a few levels to normal once it has dropped to below normal.
You know, and it's funny because T.S. Wiley came on this show numerous times over the past, 8 years, and she has actually 7.5 years, and she has always referred to DHT as super testosterone, not super like super bad, but
yeah,
super good. And there's very few people in mainstream medicine who think DHT is good. They think it's only bad, that elevated levels of it only cause problems. But the reality is that it's never like that, because the body is so intelligent that if it's producing high levels of DHT, there's a reason for it.
Yeah, and in a way, most of this research, or most of the reasoning behind that, is based on observations on people who have mostly imbalances, where they have an increased conversion of testosterone, for example, to DHT, and thus low testosterone levels and increased DHT levels, and oftentimes also low estrogen levels. But this is a very delicate balance, and as long as you hit the right ratios, all of them have their very important function. For example, if you regard the latest science on the effects of the liver of DHT and estrogen, you don't have to look very far until you reach the conclusion that this is part of the reason why non-aromatizable steroids are so bad on your liver. Because if all of a sudden there is no testosterone floating around and just some molecule that docks to the androgen receptor but cannot be converted to either estrogen or testosterone or DHT, you don't have any of those two compounds to do their job in the liver.
Well, but I always want to, this is one of the few areas in life where I feel that specificity of information is critical. And whenever we say anabolic steroids, we end up lumping into the pool so many different molecules, including testosterone. So really, I think what we need to say here is, when you're taking anabolic steroids that are not necessarily testosterone, but derivatives and metabolites and modified derivatives and metabolites that are not testosterone, you run this risk. But if you're taking the anabolic steroid testosterone in of itself, then that statement is slightly less true. Would you agree with that?
I think it would be almost false, because at least the argument I just brought forward would be totally false, because testosterone can, of course, be converted to estrogen and DHT, and that's the normal source of both of these hormones in the male and as well as in the female body. At least part of the estrogen is also derived from aromatization in women. So you are right to point out that what I was just referring to were the synthetic analogons, of which most people believe that they don't pose the risk of giving you either gynecomastia or hair loss, which is hilariously something most people are more afraid of than the toxic side effects on the liver.
We're so vain. Humans are so vain. And that's why we reduce everything to the way it appears as opposed to what it really is. And that, I have been so focused on, when I look at disease and disease states, when I look at the way the body reacts to things, I always go back and say, okay, how does this play into our survival up to the point of procreation and procreation? Because at the end of the day, that is all we are here to do. Why is this happening in that context? And no one looks at things like that. If you're overproducing DHT and you end up with acne and hair loss, that's all you care about. But why is your body overproducing that DHT in the context of job one, which is survival until you have offspring? And when you look at it from that standpoint, all of a sudden you go, well, maybe the body needs that DHT to correct some imbalance that I am causing because of environmental exposures or conditions that I am imparting on my body.
Right.
You know,
so. Right, and also because of the thought of antagonism between DHT and estrogen. If you think about estrogen these days, you always come back to all those plastics and other endocrine disruptors in our environment, which are certainly, if you see them on isolation, the exposure may not be really significant. But if those are adding up and you are ingesting them from your food, from what you drink, you are exposed to them via your skin, from the clothes you wear, and all the other pathways, then they do add up to a significant amount, and it can, in fact, be a counter-reaction to produce more androgens to counter these effects.
Right, to suppress it, because the body doesn't know that you're getting it from outside. The body goes, wow, why are we producing so much estrogen? What arrows do we have in our quiver to help shut down the estrogen production? And one of those is to suppress testosterone, but another one is to increase DHT, because DHT reduces the enzyme now, 5-alpha reductase production, which leads to DHT reduces estrogen production, so the body upregulates 5-alpha reductase in order to make that conversion. So the body thinks all these phyto and xenoestrogens are not phyto and xenoestrogens. They just go, wow, we've got a lot of estrogen receptors being stimulated. We need to do what we normally do to suppress that. All right, we have to take a break. I'm sorry, go ahead. You want to finish on that?
Yeah, just one thing. The funny thing is that the common denominator here, because it produces the enzymes and controls the cascade, is the liver.
Absolutely. The liver plays a much bigger role. Isn't it funny that the first portion of the word liver is live?
Yeah.
All right, we have to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about interval training in men. Interval training is all the rage today. Perhaps it more emulates the way we were designed to exercise, a burst of speed and then walk it off, chasing an animal, then walk it off. You're listening to the Supversity Science Roundup with the brilliant and talented Adele Musug. Visit Supversity, S-U-P-P. VERSITY.com. We'll be right back.
It's estimated that the majority of multivitamins simply get flushed down the toilet due to poor digestibility. Well, that's all changed thanks to Age Force. Now you can get 16 of the most important essential vitamins combined with 6 of the most effective antioxidants directly into your bloodstream with the new Age Force 8-hour delivery multivitamin patch. And for a limited time, get a buy one, get one free on this groundbreaking new patch. This patch is sure to change the way people take their vitamins. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force multivitamin patch banner ad today. Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only 3 ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia.
nothing else. Go to WeighNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WeighNaturalUSA.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner to add today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to the Subversity Science Roundup with Adele Musa. And I am his affable sidekick, Carl Lenore. I add a little humor to the show. And try not to make the brilliance so bright that you have to wear shades to listen to this show. Okay.
Just before the break, you were much better than just my comic relief.
Yeah, so, I know. No, but I know where the brain power is on this side of the show. Don't worry about it. You're it. Anyway, okay, so getting back to the subject at hand, interval training is all the rage, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and I think it's for good reason, all the rage. On the one hand, it does entail the risk of running into overtraining if you overdo it, but as does aerobic training. So the best thing I think is to know when it's enough and to do both on a regular basis and combine them cleverly. But if you just wanted to do one, and especially if you want to build your conditioning and also to decrease your insulin resistance or to increase your insulin sensitivity, then it really appears that interval training is the way to go. Because this is not the first study, but it is the last study in line of at least 12 or 20 studies which have been published in the last two years only, which show that interval training has at least a slight edge over aerobic training. And what the beauty of this particular study is that this is just an exercise intervention, so there was no dietary prescription, and the amount of energy the subjects were burned during their aerobic or high-intensity interval training sessions were standardized. So they had to burn 12 kilocalories per kilogram of body weight per week. In essence, they were free to choose how they would do this, aside from the fact that one group had to do the classic steady-state cardio training at 70% of their VH2 max, and the other group did interval training with a 1-to-1 ratio of high-intensity intervals at 90 to 95% and an active rest period. Unfortunately, or at least I personally feel that this is probably not the best way to do it, they did 2 minutes of all power out, full power interval trainings, and 2 minutes of break. So this is pretty long. And I've had a study in the news, I think last week, where teenagers, pubertal boys, did interval training, and they found that Only 8 seconds of all-out exercise, and when I'm saying all-out, this is really all-out. The scientists even said it was 105% of their VOH2 max, and followed, I think, by 60 seconds of active rest. Did an excellent job as well. So I don't think we do yet know which would be the best way to do intervals. And you may remember that you had someone on the show last week who said that interval training just makes you hungry. Do you remember?
Yeah, that the interval-trained athlete versus the slow-state cardio athlete consumed more calories after the training session throughout the day.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, they were only looking at the caloric expenditure and its potential. They didn't expend any additional calories. They just ate more calories.
Yeah, and what's funny is that exactly that happened in this study as well. And I suppose this is an effect of those long intervals, because the boys in the other study with their short burst intervals, they did consume less than the control group. So this may very well make a difference. But in this study, it's quite funny. Although the subjects in the high-intensity interval training group ate 200 calories per day more, while the others consumed 106 calories less, they were the ones who really saw the significant improvements. Hmm. They were the only group who saw improvements in the long-term marker of insulin resistance, and they were the only ones who saw significant improvements in body mass and body fat levels. So, and this is despite an increase compared to their regular caloric intake.
Very interesting. So really, at the end of the day, who cares if you've eaten more as a result of your exercise? What you really care about is what its overall effect is on your goal. And if your goal is to become leaner and more muscular, then how much you eat is of no consequence if you're ending up leaner and more muscular. And this is where, in my humble opinion, and I'm so fond of him that I almost feel guilty for speaking out against him, this is where Gary Taubes doesn't get it.
Yeah, I know. He's still convinced that exercising does not matter because you just would eat more.
Yeah.
And in fact, there's another fallacy to Gary Taubes' hypothesis that also comes out of the latest study, which is related to not eating so much carbohydrates, or insulin being the bad guy and responsible for everything. Because if you look at the science and from a superior perspective or an overview of the science, then it turns out that what really makes a difference is burning glucose as fuel. Burning glucose as fuel and refueling afterwards. Because those changes in the glycogen stores in the musculature, the depletion of the ATP and the rise of AMP will initiate all those beneficial downstream effects. And this is also what will have you burn the fat when you are not working out. And therefore, it is exactly futile to work out to burn fat and to work out in the fat-burning zone, because all the metabolic benefits come from depleting the glycogen stores and not from burning fat for fuel during exercise.
So it is
the high-intensity glycolytic exercise which provides the most benefits in terms of VOH2 max, that is your general conditioning, and also the benefits from your heart, for your heart, because you're actually training your heart. If you're just walking along at a speed that is not demanding, then you won't see any results. And at the same time, you do have the benefits in the time afterwards when, first of all, due to the emptied glycogen stores, your insulin resistance, your insulin sensitivity increases, and the carbohydrates you eat. And most people won't be able or won't be willing to totally abandon carbohydrates, and I would not even suggest they do this. So therefore, this is another good reason why high-intensity interval training appears to be superior, especially in people who are either at risk for insulin resistance, which is what the study subjects in the study at hand were, or are already insulin resistant. And in essence, you could even argue, when you're improving your insulin resistance by doing high-intensity interval training, you will also increase your testosterone levels, as inflammation will go down, high blood glucose, which is also damaging to the testes, will go down, and your overall health will improve, and this will reflect in your endocrine and your general hormonal levels as well.
Interesting. I want to skip over the next study and go right to the one following it, if I can, to stay within the confines of the discussion right now.
Fine.
Cardiovascular exercise versus type 2 diabetes. The relationship, obviously, here is discussed between what is considered in, well, I guess what I'm, is intensity more subjective than we thought?
I guess it is, yeah. And this actually the message, you recognize that very well, but you really have to go much more not by what you are theoretically able to perform at the level you should be able to perform at, but rather you have to compare to where you're coming from. Because the main result of the study is actually that in those individuals, these were type 2 diabetic individuals who participated in the study, and in those who had the highest BMI levels and the least conditioning and had never done any type of exercise before, it was really not beneficial for them to increase the intensity, that is to exercise at 70% of their VO2 max, which was not just age specific but actually measured. So you can't even say that, well, of course those formulas are not adequate, and you can't just calculate by age how fast you have to run. But it was actually a personalized protocol, and still the 55% intensity yielded the exact same benefits as the 70% exercise. And I think this is really a matter of doing just more than level you are just at. You have to keep progressing. And there's an interesting graph also in the study which shows that both groups, although the one had which exercised with 70% had at the very beginning a slightly steeper incline, both progressed at the same level in terms of their overall fitness rate. So the thing that really matters is that you continuously increase the intensity. And this is also something that actually speaks against classic steady-state cardio training, especially in people who are already pretty well-conditioned. Because you can't just go longer and longer and longer, or just increase the intensity until you work out at 90% of your VO2 max for 1 hour. That will obviously lead to overtraining.
Right.
The progressive aspect is very important in the training, and it's also important for those markers that were measured in the study, which are related to overall and cardiovascular health. And if you look at the data, there is a minimal advantage in the whole group for the high-intensity exercise as far as the decreases in LDL and the decrease in diastolic blood pressure are concerned. But these are the only markers where you even could argue for a difference which is not statistically significant. And this is only true for the individuals who were already at least somewhat conditioned or not in just bad as a shape as the others. So it really depends that you do... you do build slowly. This will be enough to really see benefits.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. We have to take our last commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about, well, we'll go back to the study we were going to talk about before I hopped over it, to the discussion about Nordic walking, but not resistance training, leads to compensatory decrease in leisure time physical activity. We're talking today with Adele Moussa, author of Subversity.com, SUPPVERSITY.com. All the way from Munster, Germany. I play this music in his honor. I think this is German.
Impulsive Menschen kennen keine Grenzen. Schmeiß die Möbel aus dem Fenster, wir brauchen Platz zum Tanzen. Yeah.
Never before in the history of Muscle Gauge Nutrition had they ever been so generous. And this is only available to the Superhuman Nation. Now get 25% off any order when you use the coupon SUPER. Save on sports performance supplements like creatine, BCAAs, Huge Impact, and their flagship product, Whey Isolate. Save 25% off weight loss products like Trim Down Advance or Gauge Lean MRP. Or check out their line of multivitamins formulated for men and women. Whatever you want, Muscle Gauge has it. Go to MGN Store. And use the coupon code SUPER today. People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. WhayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WhayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WhayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WhayNaturalUSA.com. For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntuBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntuBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin-mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta-adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntuBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomerase. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting TASciences.com. That's TASciences.com.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. This is the Subversity Science Roundup with Adele Musa. Adele, what's Nordic walking?
Nordic walking, basically that's walking with those sticks you usually use when you're skiing.
Oh, like cross-country skiers use.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was all the rage here in Germany a couple of years ago. Meanwhile, most people are back to jogging, but for some time, everybody was running around with those sticks. And basically, the research that has just come out is probably a spin-off of this trend, because they tried to find out what would happen if you prescribe different types of exercises, in this case to a group of women, and see how not only the exercise works, but also what happens in their regular lives. And the outcome is pretty interesting and also revealing in terms of why many of those those aerobic exercise interventions do actually fail, because the women who participated in the Nordic walking group, they simply reduced their their regular leisure time activity to an extent which almost blunted the beneficial effects of the Nordic walking. That means they did their walks on the day, but they didn't take the stairs, for example, because maybe either intentionally because they thought that they had already had enough exercise today, or because they were suspecting that they felt fatigued due to the aerobic exercise. This was not answered by the study, but the main message is actually that the metabolic increase or the increased activity level was almost compensated by a decrease in the regular activity level in the Nordic walking group. While the resistance training group, on the other hand, did not show similar reductions in their everyday activity levels, so that this added to the benefit of resistance training.
Wow, that's something. I don't understand why people would want to walk with those sticks anyway. What is the advantage? Just getting, because you're getting your upper body involved, I guess. It's kind of like the elliptical machine.
Exactly, and it's also supposed, especially for better for your knees, especially for somebody who's obese, because you take a little of the weight of your knees when you're walking like that. But in essence, I think most people just thought that this makes a diversion from the regular walk. Which people, I see often people who are afraid to walk because they think if you walk, this is evidence that you can't run. But in essence, it may be very smart for, that you are walking and not running. We are not meant to run for hours or all day long, but we are meant to walk all day long. And you can see much greater benefits if you spend a long enough time walking without running the same risks of this being over-demanding on your system. On the other hand, if on the rest of the day you have a sedentary job and you're going to the job with your car, you have more than enough occasions to compensate for that. And this appears to be exactly what happened in the study at hand.
Right, right.
That is, that the people compensated for that.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Ask your question first.
Well, no. I was gonna. I wanna close the show with this last topic because it seems intriguing to me. But finish your thought on this subject first.
Yeah, I just wanted to get back to the last study we were talking about because there is an unrelated effect, or not directly related to the intensity, which is quite intriguing, and I think people should be aware of that. When you look at the actual data, the scientists also analyzed the medication use. And what is quite astonishing is that in the course of this 12-month trial where they exercised either at 50 or 70% of their maximal heart rate, or their VO2 max, they found that the medication use, the prescribed medications, went up. And especially the use of statins and the use of lipid-lowering drugs went up. And this appears counterintuitive, but in a way this is how the system works, because we are not treating people, we are treating lab values.
Right.
And due to the increase in training, all of a sudden the liver started to spill out the fat that would otherwise just be deposited in the liver in forms of triglycerides.
Right.
And the doctors obviously reacted by prescribing more lipid-lowering agents. On the other hand, it's totally normal, especially if you do exercise on a regular basis, that as long as you are still pretty obese, your triglyceride levels are more or less supposed to go up because the body is spilling out due to the cortisol increase while you exercise excess amounts of triglycerides from both the adipose tissue as well as from the liver in order to burn them as fuel in your
right.
mitochondria, which are slowly going back to normal function. And therefore, the reaction may be understandable because doctors are trained to do this, but in essence, it wouldn't really be necessary.
And it almost looks like the exercise precipitated a unhealthy response in the body. But really,
yeah.
The body is doing this. And let's not also forget, the body is probably going to produce more cholesterol for the repair process of what is being done during exercise as well.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Really interesting. Really interesting. I want to close the show on this last research piece you have here about the effects of aerobic exercise and short-term garlic supplementation, because I think that this is interesting.
Okay, fine.
Please speak about it.
We have been talking about supplements first, and we are closing with supplements. And in effect, people always think that when you are exercising, you have to supplement. And garlic, in this case, turned out to be one of those supplements which is probably totally overlooked, because you many people will have heard that it has beneficial effects on cardiovascular health. But as the study at hand shows, the supplementation of garlic in conjunction with the aerobic exercise protocol really had significant effects on the triglyceride levels, and this, which is maybe even more important, of HDL cholesterol, because the addition of garlic at 700 milligrams per day did actually really produce a very significant increase in HDL cholesterol and a decrease in LDL cholesterol at the same time, which was not seen in those study participants who did their 30 minutes of aerobic treadmill exercise at 75% of their VO2 max without the supplement. So this goes to show you that those vegetable, I think it's a vegetable, I'm not really sure if garlic is a vegetable, but at least it is in the same family as, for example,
It's not a, is it not a tuber, maybe? No? Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I don't. I don't think so, no. But in essence, these compounds also have several anti-inflammatory agents, and they appear to improve the overall.
It's actually considered in the onion genus.
Oh yeah, okay,
there you
exactly.
Go. Yeah.
Onion was the term I was looking for.
Yeah, like a like a shallot or a leek. Yeah. There you
yeah.
Go.
And similar evidence for benefits of supplementation, especially in the conjunction with exercise, also exist for red onions, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, this goes to show you that often you can actually judge by the color how a certain food item will work, because the red, or actually it's rather violet, color is usually suggestive of a very high content of polyphenols and anthocyanins, and these are similar compounds as you will find in blueberries, for example,
right,
or in red cabbage, which is also a very good source of dietary flavonoids and polyphenols. So many of those food items which are actually a traditional staples, especially of the Mediterranean diet, for example, where you often have onions and garlic in combination, they will probably contribute much to what is often referred to as the beneficial effects of the Mediterranean diet. And when we think about the Mediterranean diet, we are often so narrowly focused on olive oil, for example, and a handful of other specific items, that we are losing sight of the whole complexity of the diet. And garlic is certainly one of those compounds which can have profound effects.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what else? It makes you appear faster when you do aerobic training. If you're competing with your friends and you eat a lot of garlic, you'll find that they will allow you to win more often. Away from you.
Yeah. This may also have some sort of detoxification effect, because it helps you. You also start to sweat pretty profusely when you've eaten a lot of garlic before. Although I'm not quite sure, in the study at hand, they did not say if this was aged garlic extract, because in many studies they use aged garlic and recognize that this older form, that is, it was stored longer, has additional benefits, because some of the molecules change during the storage process, and they also acquire different characteristics. But I think in this case it was just pure raw fresh garlic that was administered to the study participants, and it was not really a problem, because the study comes from, I think, Saudi Arabia. And people in the Arabic world also consume garlic on a regular basis. So you wouldn't be the only one who would smell like he had eaten garlic.
Right. You know what's really funny? My mother, you know, who had no science background, used to tell me that garlic and onions would purify my blood, that I should eat lots of garlic and onions because they purify the blood. Garlic does end up increasing certain gases in the bloodstream, too. It's very well understood.
It also supposed to increase vasodilation, so you could use it as a pump supplement before you work out.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny how these natural agents have so many different values, and we kind of forget about them. And there are lots of cultures that believe in the value of garlic, especially, you know, garlic is attributed to the Italians. But I got to tell you something. Korean people eat a ton of garlic and believe in it. So and anybody who eats a lot of garlic, it actually exudes from the skin. You can smell it. It's very pungent, very, very powerful smell. So there you go. And maybe the people in the previous study should have taken some garlic before exercising, and their doctors would not have been compelled to prescribe more statin and lipid-lowering drugs for them.
Well, they would have found another reason to do so.
Yeah, they don't want to lose those customers, that's for sure. Listen, it's been a great show. Now, as usual, we can never cover all the wonderful topics that Adele selects for today's show. So he will probably be putting up tomorrow, that's Friday, the second helping of the Subversity Science Roundup on his website, subversity.com. Am I correct about that? You will put those up there?
Yeah, I will. And there are still very interesting news to come. Yeah.
Yes, there you go. There's some really other really, really great articles that we didn't even get to cover. Adele, thanks so much for taking time to do the show today.
The time went over so fast that I was astonished about finishing the show. Therefore, I did not really respond when you asked me on the last topic, because I thought it must be at least half an hour until the show will end.
I know that this is kind of what Einstein used to talk about, relativity. This is we actually went into a time warp for an hour and actually made it feel like a half hour. So there you go.
Yeah, faster than the speed of light.
There you go. Thank you so much, Adele. All right, so you've listened to another hour of, 2 hours of Superhuman Radio. I appreciate your continued support of the show by listening. Tomorrow is Friday, and we will have our Casual Friday episode then. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
The following paid program does